This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Do you like apples, Em?
I certainly do.
What's your favourite?
I like a green apple. I like a Granny Smith.
A Granny Smith apple?
Yeah, I like the tart, bitterness. A really good Granny Smith is like incredible.
Oh, okay.
Juicy, crispy.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Well, my favourite is the Pink Lady, of course. Well, what's your favourite? Is it the Pink Lady, like me? Is it the Granny Smith, like M? Or is it perhaps the Sundowner, whatever it is, except for the Granny Smith, I believe. It's likely.
I did think I put a spanner in the works.
To have descended from the Lady Williams apple. Well, who was Lady Williams and how did the apple manage to take on her name? Well, Sue Broomhall is director of the Gender and Women's History Research Centre at the Australian Catholic University and has been writing about this in The Conversation. Sue, welcome to Drive.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sue, who was Lady Williams and why is the apple named after her?
So it is great to know there is actually a person who was Lady Williams. Her name was Maud Williams. And she was a farmer who worked on an orchard down in Donnybrook, which is in southwest Western Australia. And she is the person who is responsible for a massive part of Australia's global export industry of apples. Because without the Lady Williams, there would be no Sundowner, no Pink Lady, no Bravo, which make up a massive proportion of our apple market. So she was a farmer on the property down there working with her husband and sons. And one day she spotted an unusual chance seedling that had appeared on their property. So not in the orchard, but actually growing next to the tank stand by the house. So this is a pretty inconvenient location. And her husband and sons all said, oh, let's rip it out. And they actually tried several times. And Maud went, no, hang on. There's something unusual about those apples. They're really different. I haven't seen anything like it. And in fact, when they did try to pull out the tree, she was the one who bandaged it, nurtured it, and made sure it grew. And without that single tree, we would not have a massive part of our export industry today and all the apples that we know in the supermarket.
So what happened after that? She saves the tree. She says to her family, no, let's keep it. How does it then branch out to where it is now, you know, the branch of many different apple kinds?
Yep, absolutely. So first of all, stuck the tree back together, basically, bandaged it up, let it grow, tested the apples out on the local community. Everyone went, yep, that's a pretty good apple. And for those people who don't know, the Lady Williams is quite hard to find now in supermarkets. It's a beautiful, firm, crisp apple. It's bright red and it has great long storage properties, which are fantastic. So it shares some qualities with the Granny Smith, which you were mentioning before. And Granny Smith is probably a parent, in fact, of Lady Williams, which is why they have those similar characteristics. So tested out in the local community, propagated a few more on their orchard, and then by the late 1960s, it was put into commercial production. Now, there is a big research farm for horticultural production in the southwest at Manjimup, and this apple was taken into production and tested out to see if we could make hybrids that bring us some new varieties. The general tendency for apples, as you might notice in the supermarkets, is to go a little bit sweeter. So when Warren was saying he quite likes the sweetness of the Pink Lady, that is tagging with kind of where the commercial breeding programs are going. So they were looking for some of those long-lasting qualities of the Lady Williams with a slightly sweeter combination.
Right.
And so after testing about 100,000 seedlings, they came up with the apple we know now as the Pink Lady.
We're chatting with Sue Broomhall, Director of the Gender and Women's History Research Centre at the Australian Catholic University, about how Lady Williams founded a great Australian apple. Sue, you mentioned that there was a tree that was a chance seedling, so I mean that, you know, just popped up by this water tank on their property. Is the tree still alive, the original tree?
Yeah, it's still there. So it's on Boronia Farm at Donnybrook, and it's now listed on the National Trust Heritage Register. It's looking a bit sad these days, but it is still there. I think there's no sign, there's no kind of monument to it, but the original tree is still right there. And every apple that you eat that comes from that tree, so Sundowner, Bravo, Pink Lady, they all share DNA with that original
wow.
tree.
That's so incredible. Is the tree still producing apples?
Oh, I think it is, but not, it's not as robust as people tell me. So we were doing an oral history, and this is part of a podcast we were developing. The people who were there at the time and knew the tree when it was really vibrant were really describing very, you know, abundant kind of production off the tree. It's looking a little bit sadder these days, right, but it's still there.
So how important is it, you know, we're hearing a story here about an Australian woman, Lady Williams, and her impact on the Australian apple industry. How important is it that we hear these stories, particularly when it comes to, say, industries such as, I imagine, you know, agriculture and apple growing, you know, it was not generally well known for women.
Absolutely. And that's really partly why I was doing research, because as you introduced, I'm a historian of women and gender history, and I wanted to look into women's agricultural innovation in particular. So there's been quite a bit of work lately about the invisible farmer, women as invisible farmers, because institutionally they weren't recorded as farmers, they weren't seen as farmers for a very long time. And I wanted to take that a little bit further and see if we could think about how women had been involved in agricultural developments and innovation, which is sort of even harder again for some of the same reasons. Typically, women aren't the ones who have the finance to do that kind of entrepreneurial work. Often they're hidden behind their husbands, and often, you know, they just don't appear in institutional records. So when I saw there was an apple named Lady Williams and there was a real person behind it, the way we dug at this story was to go through oral histories of people who knew her who still were in the local community. And that's really important because we want, you know, we want to reflect everybody's participation in the histories of all sorts of things. And as we go forward as a country, we're going to have to make all sorts of really tricky decisions about what we want to do environmentally with the land in this country. And we want to make sure that everyone sitting at that table in that decision-making capacity, you know, knows that they can be there, that everybody feels they have a place at that table. And we can do that by representing, you know, role models in the past so that people feel they have a place and stake in the future.
So you mentioned in this particular story, the story of Lady Williams and the creation of this apple and therefore many other apples, that the way that you went about getting this history was mainly through storytelling and people's own recollections of events, because there wasn't necessarily that much tangible evidence for this history. Are you seeing, as a historian, more not only verbal history being recorded, but also, you know, tangible accounts written down and hard copies of things, so that potentially in the future, these histories won't be as hard to, you know, chase down?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, really, I think we're just scratching the surface of this as a topic for investigation. So I came at it because I happened to hear a story in the community and went, oh, there's something in that, and sort of pursued it a bit further. But I think the more we start thinking about what women, in this case, could have done in the industry, how we might think about innovation differently, and sort of slightly ask different questions, I think when we go back to the records, we'll see some different things in there. So, and I think people will start to record information differently, so we have the opportunity to hear more stories and have a much more diverse and better representative account of the past.
Sue, I'm really pleased that you did think there must be a story behind this, because I think that this story of the Lady Williams apple and particularly Lady Williams' contribution to it, and like we mentioned, developing that, you know, leading on to the Pink Lady and all the other varieties that we have today, it's such an important part of our history, isn't it? And we take for granted today, we go into the supermarket, we buy our apples, we don't even think about where the name comes from. So it's so good that you managed to get this story and follow it up.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. It's funny, isn't it? Because in one way, this story is right in front of us, and it's the same as the Granny Smith. That's another story of a real woman who helped to develop that apple. These stories are right there in front of us, but we actually kind of don't know the details. So, you know, it's been a really great project to work on this, and I guarantee you that everyone listening will feel like they want to eat an apple at the end. Everybody I've spoken to, at the end, you all think, oh, I need to go and eat some more apples.
That's right.
So that's, I do kind of feel like an apple. You're right, Sue.
I feel like we're going to appreciate them more too now.
Absolutely. I hope so. There's a lot of work involved from a lot of different people, and, you know, we want to hear all of those stories.
So the next time you bite into that juicy apple, think about Lady Williams and how her appreciation of apples and her chance discovery led to the apples that we enjoy today. Sue, fascinating story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks so much.
Sue Broomhall, Director of the Gender and Women's History Research Centre at ACU.
Miss the show? Download the Joy Drive podcast. Head to joy.org.au, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au.
Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.